All right, if you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I'm assuming after 28 years, y'all love me, right?
Yes.
Good. If you've been here for any length of time, you know what that means. So, I love you too. The title of today's message is Obedience Releases the Holy Spirit. Obedience releases the Holy Spirit. There's a tremendous power in the Holy Spirit, and the enemy has rendered that power useless in our lives, and he's made it as if it's unnecessary in our lives. We have made the Holy Spirit an afterthought, and God has made the Holy Spirit a forethought in his mind. And yet we're dismissing the Holy Spirit and we don't place any value on him. And, you know, I just want to stir that up within us that we're not going to do that. We can't do that. You can't be a Christian and do that. In Galatians chapter 3, and I got to review a little bit because Alicia didn't review this last week. So, just kidding. She had her own stuff. So, Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. And so you think, okay, he did that. But then you know what? God does things on purpose. He is very intentional. He lives on purpose. And he wants us to as well. So verse 14 says, thank you. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Then we have to ask ourselves, well, what is the blessing of Abraham that God wants to bring to the Gentiles? And it's this. So that we might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. So God did everything that he did through Jesus so that the Holy Spirit would be able to come and live inside of us. And then he would begin to take over our life. Romans chapter, or John chapter 16, verse 7, John 16, 7 says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come. But if I go, and everybody said he went, I will send him to you. Hallelujah. So Jesus is letting us know that it's to our advantage that he goes away so that the Holy Spirit can come and live inside of us. And yet we minimize and we devalue the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it shouldn't be like that. And so we have to ask ourselves, how come there doesn't seem to be very much advantage going on in our Christian lives? How come it looks like we're living just like the world? Like there's no difference in us. That's crazy. Jesus came and he died for us so that we could be forgiven. But you know what? We've made that forgiveness, that salvation experience, the end. It's not. It's just the beginning. And then somebody comes along and they teach you, no, that's just the beginning. The end is when you get to go to heaven. And so we sit there and we think about the beginning and we think about the end, but we don't think about the middle. And the middle is the most important part. And it's in the middle that we get the opportunity to walk with the Holy Spirit and turn your life upside down. Whatever was hindering you, you don't have to be hindered by it anymore when you come to Christ. Because the Holy Spirit is in us. And, you know, it's just amazing. So it's in the middle that we have to be concerned about. You know, and I'm great that we get to go to heaven. I'm great that we get to be forgiven. But you know what? What about the middle? It's kind of like the old Wendy's commercial. Where's the beef? Where is the Holy Spirit in our lives? If Jesus did all of that, I mean, look, you know when you get to heaven, you got everything. It's while we're down here that we need the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So salvation isn't the main thing. Going to dying and going to heaven isn't the main thing. What the main thing is living in the middle. And so God intends that while we're waiting from the beginning to the end, while we're waiting, that we're walking in step with the Holy Spirit and in the power of the Holy Spirit. That He has the ability, the Holy Spirit has the ability to lead us and guide us into freedom. I mean, that's what He's come to do. We learn that when we obey the Holy Spirit, we begin to crucify our flesh. Isn't that awesome? Some of y'all need to obey Him a little bit more. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Take it up with Him, not me. Romans 8, 12 says, "So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if," everybody say, "but if." "By the Spirit," everybody say, "by the Spirit." It doesn't say by your flesh, by your mate, by anybody else, but by the Spirit. So you have to be walking with the Holy Spirit. That means I can't crucify it for you. You can't crucify it for me. Okay? But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And you know, we want to go visit somebody. We want to go talk to somebody about it. And I'm not opposed to all that, but it comes down to, are you willing to obey the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to walk with the Holy Spirit? If, you know, I'll just be honest. If not, just forfeit your Christianity. Give it up. What's the sense in being miserable the rest of your life if you're not going to listen to the Holy Spirit? If you're not going to obey the Holy Spirit? And yet we have churches filled like that. Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Isn't that awesome? And then, this is just review. Whew. Ephesians chapter 1. Y'all thought I forgot that, didn't you? Ephesians chapter 1. This is what Paul's praying for the Ephesians church. And it's not just for them, but it's for us as well. Verse 15, Ephesians 1:15. And he's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit towards us. "For this reason, because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him." You know, before I came to know Christ, I knew everything about Pittsburgh. Their sports teams. I knew everything about the Pirates. I knew everything about the Steelers. I could tell you who was on the Steelers team every year that they won the Super Bowl. I could tell you everything about them. What position, how long they'd been on the team, where they graduated from college. Can't tell you that now. Don't really care either. I mean, when you got six, you just kind of get over it anyways. Who can remember six? See, some of y'all got one or two. You can remember those. But that we would have a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. What more do you need? What more can you ask for? Verse 18, "having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power?" And this is where we talked about the four words. Immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe. Who's it towards? Us who believe. According to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And so he wants us to know about the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us, and the power that he, of his great might that he worked when he raised Christ Jesus from the dead. And, you know, I still love that word, exerted. You know, that he exerted in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead. And not just raised him from the dead, but then seated him in the heavenly places above everything. You know, I would have been happy with being raised, but, you know, God says, let's just go all the way. We're just going to seat him on the throne above everything. All right. That's in us. He's working in us. And so I hear a lot of questions today concerning the church. And where's the power in the church today? Where's the power of God in the church today? And I figured it out. I know where he is. He's in us. And we walk around, we strut, and we're like, woo, he's in us. The power of God is in us. And then we go home and we can't do the dishes. We go home, we can't clean up. We go home, we got disorderly kids. We go home or we go to work and we're miserable at work. You know, used to have these guys that when I was going to Christ for the Nation, the dream job was to work at the hotel that everybody worked at. And so I finally get there. And then I'm working with these other guys, other classmates and stuff. Don't hang around with them, just at work, you know. And they're complaining all the time about everything at work. And finally, I just looked at one of them. And I said, brother, I said, did you sign your name on the application to work here? Yeah. Did you know how much they were going to pay you? Yeah. I said, shut up then. He says, well, I don't like it. I said, well, then quit. You knew exactly what you were getting into when you got hired. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. Quit making life miserable for everybody else because you're miserable. I mean, they were. Well, I was making more money. Then go back there. So, long story short, he's in us. The problem is, we're not letting him out. You say, well, Pastor, how you let him out? I'll give you the word. Obey. When you obey God, he gets out. When you don't obey God, he stays in. So we have a bunch of people in the church, got all this power in them, but they want to obey God. And then they want to know, well, why isn't anything happening? I'll tell you why nothing's happening. Because you're not obeying him. Simple as that. You want to go home? You can. That's the main point of the message. But I got more. And it's been, I think I'm right at 15 minutes now. I don't know for sure, but you know. It's amazing that we claim to be followers of Christ, and yet we don't want to obey him. And maybe we don't want to obey him because we don't know about all this power. Well, if you don't know about this power, then that's not his fault, that's your fault. The enemy has got us believing that God is going to do everything for us, and we have come to the place where we believe that. In the church, we believe that God is going to do everything for us. All we have to do is show up. All we have to do is go to church, give our check in the tithe, raise our hands during worship, and if we're really gifted, we speak in tongues to him. And he ought to be blessed and he ought to unleash everything. You know when somebody does everything for you, you know what you are? You're an infant. When our kids came home, When we brought them home, we did everything for them. And they made messes everywhere. Both ends. You know, you feed them, and you're so happy that they ate, and then you know you got to burp them. And so you burp them, and you have what? A burp cloth. It ain't a burp cloth. It's a vomit cloth. It's a throw-up cloth. They're going to throw up on you. And then when that's done, they look at you, you're holding them, and you're talking about, oh, you're so sweet. You look so cute. And they just grin at you, and you think they're listening to you. And then you start smelling something, and you're like, oh, now I know why you were smiling. And then you have to clean that end. That's what happens when you're an infant. Everything is done for you. So why do we expect God to do everything for us when we come to church or when we go to work? God, fix that person. Well, why don't you love that person? You know, why's he got to do it? He sent you to do it. He's given you the power to do it. You know what I realize? I don't have the power to love like God wants me to love. There's no way. It's not in me. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit to love one another. You know, we're always wanting God to fix something, always wanting God to change something. Who are you then? Are you saved? You change something then. You know, it's a joy and it's a great delight when your children grow up. And as they grow up, you realize you stop doing some things for them. And then as they grow up more and more, it's a beautiful thing. But when they're infants, you have to do everything for them. And you know what? There comes a point in our life when God says, if you're going to be an infant the rest of your life, go ahead, but I'm not going to join you. You're going to be miserable. You're going to smell. You're going to keep making messes. Everybody around you is going to get tired of you. You know, toddlers are great, but you still got to do things for them. But when they start taking responsibility for themselves, that's a joyous day. And so why do we not think that when we start doing what God has asked us to do, that's not a joyous day for him? When we go to work and instead of going to work and praying, God, will you change my coworker? God, will you change my boss? You know, I really don't like him. You know, there's times, and this is God's honest truth. Diana's going to work and, you know, I've got to help her get in the car. I've got to help her get dressed. Got to help her get in the car. Don't have to help her get out of the car because she's able to slide out. Okay? And there's times when we're preparing for all this and she says, I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know why I'm going to work. And there's only one reason why she's going to work. Because she's there to be a light to those people. She's there, even in the midst of all of her pain and agony and everything that she goes through to get there, she goes there to love somebody. I'm not saying that this is easy, but I am saying that when you tap into the Holy Spirit, it's possible. It is very possible. So there's a lot of people that have been born again, and they've been born again for a long time, but they've never grown up. They stay helpless and useless, needing someone else to do life for them. When I got born again, and I was just shy of being 18 years old when I got born again, I didn't know anything about walking with God. Anything. Came from a different religious background, and they didn't teach me hardly anything about how to walk with God. And so when I came to know the Lord, this is what I started doing. I started, somebody gave me, the person who led me to the Lord gave me a pocket-sized New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs. I said, what do I do with it? He said, start reading it. So I started reading it. And as I kept reading it, and I didn't even know what I was reading, but you start sensing the Holy Spirit. And then God leads you to these other people. And I found this lady, and she worked at a Christian bookstore. And so then I started spending my time in the Christian bookstore, and I was asking her questions. And when I was going through difficulties, and, you know, it's funny because I look at them now, I wasn't really going through the difficulty. I was putting my family through the difficulty. Oh, Lord. And I was telling her what was going on, and she would give me insight. She would help me. She would give me knowledge. She was an elderly lady. She would pray for me. And so then from meeting her, then I meet some other people. And I'm here to tell you that you don't have to be the rocket scientist. All you have to be is hungry for God. All you have to do is be desiring of God, and He'll lead you to the right people and the right places so that you can grow up in Christ. Because there's a lot of people who sit there and say, well, I didn't have that when I grew up. Okay. So what do you want me to do about it? You're not going back to get a different background. So wherever you find Christ, start walking with Him. Start desiring Him. Start hungering for Him. And I'm telling you, God will find the right people. He'll hook you up. But if you don't want it, you just want to be born again and you want to go to heaven someday, then don't worry about it. That's what will happen. So I'm here to tell you that if you want God, He'll make sure that He finds you, or you find Him. And I'm convinced that because God saw my hunger and my desire for Him, that He made it happen. He knew that and that's just the way I think, you know, if I'm going to give my life to you, it's because I need you. And I was convinced that I needed Him. And I'm convinced that if you know that you need Him, He'll give Himself to you. And I knew that I needed as much as possible from Him. And I believe that God knew that when He would talk to me, when He would show me things in His Word, that I would be obedient to it, that I would put it into practice to the best of my ability. And so I have some questions for you, and you can write these down if you want. Start off with the easy ones. Are we really hungry for God, or is He an afterthought in our lives? Are we really hungry for Him, or is God something like a date for us? Is he somebody that we have a casual relationship with? You can have a casual relationship with God. If you don't press into Him, He'll find somebody else to give it to. I might be that one that gets it, because I need it. Do we really want more of God? And, you know, we can all sit there in theory and say, oh, yeah, I really want more of God. But you know how you really know if you want more of God? You'll do whatever it takes to get Him. And that means that you'll be willing to obey Him. See, that's how I know if you really want God. Are you willing to obey Him? You know, because a lot of people want God, but a lot of people don't want to obey what He has to say. And within that obeying, are you willing to do whatever He tells you to do? Whether you understand it or not, whether it makes sense to you or not, whether you agree with it or not. You know, there's a lot of things that I don't understand. But I still want to put it into practice. You know, I've done some electrical work. And you know, when you hit those switches to turn the lights on, I am so thrilled that they come on. Now, I'm dangerous enough to understand enough, but you know what? I really don't know how they work, except for I turn the switch. And when I want them to go off, I hit the switch off. Now, if I had to understand it, I'd never have lights in my house. You know, unless I go study it out, and I don't want to. But we have that mindset with God. Well, I just don't understand you, so I'm not going to. Well, then you're not going to understand him if you never read, if you never study, if you never seek after him. Another question. Are we satisfied being miserable while we wait to go to heaven? Are we satisfied being miserable while we wait to go to heaven? Because some of y'all say, well, you know, I want a better life. Well, he offers you one. We read in Romans chapter 6 today that through the death, burial, and resurrection, in that when we're raised, there's a newness of life out there waiting for us. You don't have to live like you've always lived. Do we understand how much we really need God in our lives? Do we really understand how much we need God in our lives? You know, I'd gone to church all of my life. I was told that if I didn't go to church, I'd go to hell. And so, kind of person that I am, I didn't want to go to hell, so I made sure I went to church. And then my brother, who's just older than me, he tested that theory a couple times. And literally, the way they taught us, I thought we were going to hell as soon as we missed. And so the first day my brother missed, I'm like, came home from church. I'm like, David, where are you? He answered, here I am. I said, you're alive? He said, yeah. I said, oh my goodness, they've lied to us. I really did. I mean, I went and I touched him. You really are alive? Yeah. You're really here? Yes. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. I got one more question, but I just want to let you. I mean, you know, how much do we need God? I've shared with you in the past that it took a year for the brother who led me to the Lord to lead me there because I had questions. I wanted to make sure he was telling me the truth. I didn't want to listen to another lie. And, you know, if this is what it meant to have God, then that's what I was going to do. And when I found out that it was through Jesus Christ and having that, placing my faith in him and having that relationship with him, I'm in, baby. One thing God knows, he ain't getting rid of me now. He's stuck with me. You know, someday he ought to be shaking his head, but, you know, he still loves me. The last question that I had, do we really understand he can get us out of any pit we have found ourselves in? Do we really understand he can get us out of any pit, any pit? Say it with me, any pit we have found ourselves in. And that means whether you created it, whether somebody else created it for you, whether you got in with somebody else who you thought was your best friend, and now you're all in the pit together. You know, however you got there, I'm here to tell you, God has the power to get you out of it. Do you really want out of the pit? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. We've looked at this in the past as well. I'm going to close with this. I got a long ways to go before I close. And I already told the teachers up there I'm going long today. So y'all just relax. Your kids are fine. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, this is another prayer that Paul's praying for the church. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with all power through his Spirit in your inner being. Where is it? It's in our inner being. Where's your inner being? In you. That power, all of that is in you. That you would be strengthened in you, in your inner being. Verse 17. So that, thank you, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Isn't that awesome? That means you can't understand God's love. But man, we can rejoice in it. Whoo! That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, everybody say now. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Hallelujah. You don't even have to go to McDonald's to get it. It's in you. According to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You know, so when I read this, I got a question for you. Well, actually, I'll make a statement. I won't make it a question. I better make it a question, because she said we got to be careful about our declarations. So here's the question. How come we live like we are dying and defeated when life and victory are living in the inside of us through the Holy Spirit who lives in us? How come it is we live just like the world? We're dying and we live defeated when we should be living in life and victory because of the power of the Holy Spirit that's in us. How come we're living like that? Because he's in us and we refuse to obey him so he can get out of us. You see, I've met so many believers who have shrunk back. They stay at home. They hide. They stay away from people. And these are the very people who need to know about the power of God that is in us. They need to know this so that eventually he can be living in them as well and helping them like he's helped us. But when we don't acknowledge him, when we don't obey him, then we have to go hide. We have to go sit in our pity party, and we have to go feel sorry for ourselves. I mean, it's amazing how many. And instead of going to the people who need us, who need what is inside of us, we won't obey God. We'll just sit at home and we'll do nothing. It's a shame the enemy knows more about our potential than we know about our potential. It's a shame that the enemy knows that he will be undone if the Holy Spirit ever gets out of us and into this world because we obeyed him. The enemy knows that, but we don't know that. And it's a shame. Verse 20 says, now to him who is able. Now, it doesn't say to him who's going to do it. It says to him who is able. In other words, he's able to work a miracle in your life. I mean, Rhonda's testimony, I was so blessed by it. I don't have much, but one thing I do know that I have the Lord. What else do you need? Now she is able because he who is able is living inside of her. And then I got to talk to you about now. It doesn't say yesterday. It doesn't say when you got born again. And it doesn't say tomorrow when you go to heaven. It says right now. Everybody say right now. When do you need it? Now. When is now? In the middle. Now is in the middle. When do we need God the most? In the middle. It's a shame that we've allowed the enemy to rob us, to rob God, to rob this world from releasing the power of God that is within us, because we don't know our potential and we're satisfied with being born again and going to heaven and we don't care about the middle. And maybe when we do understand our potential, we choose to live in fear instead. Now, I know that's nobody in this church. We'll hope somebody hears this message from another place. It's amazing to me how many people choose to live in fear rather than in the power of the Holy Spirit who's living inside of us. And we choose not to because we're afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid. Here's the biggest thing that you're afraid of. You're afraid of what others are going to think about you. Can you mute me? More afraid of what others are going to think about us than what God thinks about us. The last time I read my Bible, it doesn't say that the others are going to stand, that I'm going to stand before them. It says I'm going to stand before Him. So I should be more concerned about what He thinks about me than what others think about me. And if we'll begin to do that, I promise you, you'll start walking out of fear real quickly. We're afraid of failure. Why? Because we're afraid of what others are going to think about us. See, it always goes back to others. Like, nobody has ever failed before? Like, you've never failed before, so now all of a sudden you're afraid of failing? You know, you've been a failure all your life and you're still going? Keep going. Maybe one day you'll get the power of God released in you by obeying Him. And even if you do, you're going to fail again sometime. Because you're human. Slap yourself. Say, I'm human. Think about this. There's so much potential in us that it has the ability to change us. But God doesn't just stop there. It has the ability to change your family, your immediate family. It has enough potential, power to change you and your family. But then God says, you know, let's just put some more power in there. There's enough power not only to change you and to change your immediate family, but also enough to change the world around you. You have the opportunity to change your atmosphere at your place of work. Woo! Isn't that awesome? So you're never going to run out of His power, and we already know that from Ephesians chapter 1. But see, we don't let Him out because we're more concerned what the world's going to think about us rather than what God's going to think about us and the plans that He has for us, plans that are going to glorify Him and honor Him. Now, I'm really closing with this story about my life. In elementary school, I hit a brick wall for reading. I was a great reader up until fourth grade. Fourth grade, something happened. You don't need to know what happened, but something happened. And reading just went out the door. I didn't care about reading. I love math anyways. You don't have to do a lot of reading when you're in math until they give you those reading problems, and you're like, why you got to give a reading problem? This is math. And so I made it all the way through high school, didn't really care about reading. And so I didn't read unless I had to. And then one day, something happened. I received Christ. I placed my faith in Christ. And remember earlier I told you that the guy who led me to the Lord gave me a pocket-sized New Testament. He said, read this. So I started reading. And then that's when I realized my problem. I would read it, and I'm like, God, I don't understand this. I mean, like, I can't even tell you what I read. I mean, I'm not talking spiritual. I'm just talking natural. I would read a page of it. Thank God it was a small page. And then I would think back and I'm like, I don't even know what I read. I lost my comprehension ability. And I realized that. And so I asked the Lord, I said, God, I said, you know, when I'm reading your word, I love it, but I didn't know at the time it's getting in me and it's going to work its way out. It's planting seed in me. But I'm reading it and I'm not comprehending it. And so I started asking the Lord. I said, Lord, I said, what are we going to do about this? Because I'm having a problem. I want to read your word, but I can't understand. I can't comprehend it. I mean, I could read as many pages as you want. And you say, okay, what'd it say? I'm like, I don't know. And so this is what the Lord told me. He said, read it some more. So I kept reading. And then he told me this. He said, this is what I want you to do when you read. He said, you read one sentence at a time. And then I want you to tell me what it said. So I found the shortest sentence that I could. I read it to him. I said, this is what you said. Good. And I did that until he told me, read two. So then I started reading two sentences, and then I would tell him what the two sentences were. And then I graduated to three sentences because I'm going to obey the Lord. I went to three, and then I would tell him what he said. And then it got to be where I could read a paragraph. And then I would tell him what the paragraph said. Then I'd read two or three paragraphs, and then I'd tell him what it said. And I did that until I can read a chapter. And then I can read a book, and then I can tell him what I read. Because I'm understanding it. I'm comprehending it in the natural. But then, you know, there's the work of the Holy Spirit. But here's what I realized. There was a power in me that I didn't know was in me. And he tapped me into him by reading. Just by reading. Because I'm telling you, if and, you know, I make this sound like it happened like in a week's time. It didn't. This was years. But I was faithful to it. I was obedient to him. I was so hungry for his word. And I'm like, you know, no sense in reading it if you don't know what you're reading. But I realized that there was something in me. He was in me. And he knew that I would keep reading. And he knew because I kept reading, I'd get it. My comprehension started coming. And then when the Lord starts adding his stuff, whoo, life is good. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Stand with me if you will, please. I'm going to give you the main point to this message. You say, well, I think I got it. Well, I'm probably going to burst your bubble right now. Our obedience releases the power of the Holy Spirit. Whether it be for your life, your family's life, the world around you, your work, your obedience. Our obedience releases the power of the Holy Spirit who is in us. That's the main point, except for I have to add this next point to it. It's for now. It's for right now. He wants us to learn to obey him now. Because now, to him who is able to do more than you can even think or ask or imagine. Now. But it only happens now if we're willing to obey him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for who you are and the love that you have for us. And Father, I thank you for most of us in here, we've had a salvation experience. We know that someday our bodies are going to wear out and we're going to heaven. And those are great days. But Father, I thank you that there's a now in your life and in ours. And it's between when we received you and when we go to be with you. And so Father, right now, I ask that you would awaken within us your Spirit, in the power of your Spirit that is within us, that we would be a people who walk and live according to the power that is at work within us, that we would become a people who are willing to obey you no matter what, so that your power, the power of the Holy Spirit, will be released in our life wherever you send us. And we thank you for that hope. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I go obey.